FM Voice News, your global link.
The UPND urged to lead by example and hold the elective convention. CRAS warns a night travel policy may fail without improved security. And Nigeria fuel prices surged 65% amid global oil shock. Good evening with the main news. I am Christabel Kamano. A governance expert, Wesley Mienda, has called on the United Party for National Development, UPND, to lead by example by holding its party convention. Mr. Mienda said convening a convention would not only encourage opposition parties to do the same, but also help restore unity within the ruling party, which he described as currently appearing divided. Speaking in an interview for RCV News in Saturday, Mr. Mienda warned that failure by the UPND to hold its convention could lead to vote apathy among its members. He explained that some party members feel disadvantaged compared to others, which could weaken internal support. Vote apathy is likely to arise from members who feel sidelined and unfairly treated, said Mr. Mienda. Mr. Mienda further cautioned that the absence of a convention could affect how seriously the UPND government is perceived by the public. He has since called for greater transparency in the management of party affairs by those in leadership positions.
So let them have the convention, because they are the ruling. Let them have the convention. If it means having a convention where they would just say, no, we are going with the HH. No, that's a convention. It's fine, it's a convention. But as for most of these positions, let other people actually come on board and do them as leaders, so that we have a new set of a fresh set of leadership. That's what members of the ruling party are talking about, are saying. So let them have the commission. Further to that division, there will be a lot of kafafa, and we are going to have voter apathy, because most of these members by ruling will not actually do the vote.
Some Lusaka-based motorists have called on government to urgently expedite efforts to source fuel from alternative suppliers, citing growing concerns over supply disruptions, particularly amid tensions in the Gulf region, which have affected global oil supply chains. Others have emphasized the need for authorities to invest in increased fuel storage capacity, noting that the country is currently ill-prepared to withstand prolonged shortages. Speaking to RCV News in Lusaka today, the motorist who spoke in anonymity said that while the situation may be driven by external factors beyond the country's control, government must act decisively to secure alternative sources of fuel. In situations like this, we expect government to be proactive. We cannot continue relying on one route when we know global events can disrupt supply at any time, said the motorist. They added that Zambia should prioritize revamping local storage infrastructure to cushion the country during periods of uncertainty.
You know, we need to start storing our own diesel for like situation like this, because right now, as Zambian citizens, we don't have capacity to store our own fuel and so forth.
Government should just expedite the efforts of sourcing for fuel from alternative sources, because we don't know the external forces, we have no control.
All the way from Dubara South, I went to Manda Hill, engine Long Acres, I went to Manda Hill Puma, I went to Oryx here along Thabo Mbeki, and now I'm here.
Okay.
So, and I'm very low. I don't even think I'll make it where I'm going. So we are in trouble if this thing doesn't get sorted out. No, I know it's beyond the country's control, but we may see a situation where people now will be forced to work from home. There'll be no mobility.
The Commuters' Rights Association of Zambia CRAZ has cautioned that lifting the night travel ban will not achieve its intended purpose if the current security concerns are not adequately addressed. Yesterday, the Minister of Commerce, Trade and Industry, Chipoka Mulenga, announced that the government will roll out the first phase of the 24-hour economy by lifting the night travel ban on commercial trucks and buses, effective 1st April 2026. CRAZ President Aaron Kamoti says it would be misguided to assume that commuters can safely access a bus station at night amid rising crime levels. Speaking to RTV News on Saturday, Mr. Kamoti noted that people are already being robbed at bus stations during the day, adding that more will need to be done to ensure safety at night. Such policies would make more sense if security issues were addressed first rather than implementing them in reverse, said Mr. Kamoti. Mr. Kamoti also expressed concern over poor road signage across the country, warning that this could increase the risk of accidents at night. He added that for a 24-hour transport system to achieve its intended purpose, there's need for the Road Development Agency, RDA, to improve road signage nationwide.
People are being attacked even during the day. What about those people who knock off in the night? And most of our workers working for Shoprite and other chain stores, even now on the Indian shops, their salaries are not much for them to be booking taxis in the night. One is paid the 1,000. And we have passengers who just board a bus when they are paid. After 2 or 3 days, they just walk. So are they going to be managing walking to their respective homes? And what have we done about the risk? Why is there protection? We have all over people being attacked during the day. What about in the night? So all that.
Zambia has secured over $30 million in climate finance aimed at shielding smallholder farmers from the impacts of climate change. The funding will support a project titled Catalyzing a Climate Risk Protection Shield for Zambian Smallholder Farmers, backed by a $25 million grant from the Green Climate Fund and $5.2 million in co-financing from One Acre Fund Limited. The initiative is designed to provide climate risk protection, climate smart agriculture inputs, and land restoration support to vulnerable farming communities across the country. Speaking at the signing ceremony, Ministry of Finance and National Planning Permanent Secretary Prudence Kaoma described the initiative as a decisive step in embedding climate resilience into Zambia's development agenda. Zambia is placing climate risk management at the core of its development. The country's accreditation to the Green Climate Fund is not just a technical milestone, it is a mandate to turn climate finance into concrete, measurable results for its people, Ms. Kaoma said in a statement issued to RCV News and the SACA today. She emphasized that the program will provide timely and predictable support to farmers facing climate-related shocks such as delayed rainfall or early seasonal endings, conditions that often force families to make difficult economic decisions. Ms. Kaoma said the project also aligns with Zambia's nationally determined contribution, reinforcing the government's efforts to integrate climate resilience into planning and budgeting frameworks. Meanwhile, Zambia's ambassador to South Korea, Andrew Banda, said the initiative represents a key milestone under the environmental sustainability pillar of the country's 8th National Development Plan. This is a critical step in safeguarding livelihoods, strengthening food security, and building resilience among our rural communities, said Mr. Banda. In Africa news, Nigeria is facing a sharp fuel price surge despite the launch of the Dangote refinery, Africa's largest. Prices have jumped by around 65%, the steepest increase among major African economies. The refinery was expected to reduce imports and stabilize costs, but Nigeria still relies heavily on foreign crude. Much of its own oil production is tied up in debt repayments to international lenders and energy companies, limiting local supply. The situation has been made worse by the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, which has disrupted global supply routes and pushed oil prices above $100 a barrel. Coming up shortly, Spain closes airspace to U.S. aircraft involved in Iran war. This and for more, stay tuned.